The reason why multiple sclerosis is so prevalent in the Northwest is one of the region's most enduring mysteries. It's right up there with the infamous D.B. Cooper hijacking. Now, though, researchers are closing in on some likely culprits. Doctors have recently begun diagnosing more children with MS, even as young as age 5. The disease tends to be more severe in younger patients, and that's increased the sense of urgency to nail down how the disease works and what exactly might stop it. In a collaboration with KUOW and Investigate West, Carol Smith tries to unravel some of the mysteries of MS.
If you've lived in Seattle for a while, you've probably seen the billboards asking why there's so much MS in the Pacific Northwest. Is it the trees? Is it the rain? Well, is it?
Yeah. Well, those are kind of silly because they say, is it the water? We know it's not the water.
That's Dr. George Kraft. He's the director of the MS Rehab Research and Training Center at the University of Washington.
We really know what it is, and it's really the fact that we have people here whose genetic background comes from typically Northern Europe, and that's the genetic component. And there's an environmental component, and it may well relate to reduced vitamin D levels. It may relate to other things in this area.
MS is a neurological disease that's significantly higher in the Northwest than in other parts of the world. Without treatment, the consequences of MS can be severe. About half of people end up using wheelchairs or needing assistance to walk after the first decade or so. But with treatment, especially early on, some patients can postpone symptoms for many years. So far, though, there are only a handful of medications for the disease, and they don't work for everyone. Scientists hope that finally understanding the cause of the disease will lead them to new and better treatments. One of their very first clues came from a kind of accidental experiment that took place decades ago in the Faroe Islands. Researchers had observed for a long time that MS is more common at northern latitudes.
Well, the Faroe Islands are off the coast of Scotland, so they're north, and they're in the North Atlantic. And here's why they're significant. You would expect, because they're so far north, that there would be a high prevalence of MS. But until the late 1930s, there was no MS on the Faroe Islands.
None at all. Even though there was plenty, just a short hop over the water in neighboring Scotland.
What happened was, when Hitler started invading Europe, the British sent their troops into the Faroe Islands, and they brought their dogs with them.
The dogs brought something, too. Not long after the British troops arrived, there was an outbreak of canine distemper. Distemper is caused by a virus, but here's the intriguing part. Shortly after the dogs got sick, people on the island started coming down with MS. That led to the theory that MS might be triggered by a virus of some kind.
This was really pretty spectacular because it was an isolated research area where you could look and study this.
Since that time, researchers have found a number of human viruses that might be connected with MS, like Epstein-Barr. That's the one that causes chronic fatigue syndrome, or mono. A certain type of herpes virus is another one that may have a link with MS. But the viral theory has turned out to be more complicated than researchers hoped.
So a big mistake the field has made over the years is looking for a single virus.
Researchers now think there are multiple viruses and multiple genes involved. One thing they're sure of is whatever is triggering it is causing the immune system to attack itself. Now they're trying to understand exactly what's going on when that happens.
And if we step maybe over there in the tissue culture room.
Dr. Estelle Batelli is an immunologist. She's giving me a tour of her lab at the Benaroya Research Institute at Virginia Mason in Seattle.
This is an essential part, the radio of people working in this room.
Researchers in Dr. Batelli's lab are trying to isolate the specific cells in the body that actually cause the damage that's typical of MS.
Those are safety cabinets or hoods. Basically, they are designed to actually keep our material sterile.
He's fingered a couple of particular suspects in a family of cells called T cells. The T cells are part of the body's elaborate defense system that keeps out foreign invaders and keeps us well. In MS, though, they get confused and attack the covering of nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord. That covering is like insulation. It helps protect the signals being transmitted from the brain to muscles and organs.
When the cells from the immune system then start attacking this structure, then obviously then the system doesn't work very well, and there is destruction that cannot really be replaced.
When the nerve coverings are damaged, The signal degrades, and the message can't get through. Being able to repair that damage could prevent MS from progressing. Doctors are looking for ways to do that by blocking or reprogramming the T cells to keep them from attacking in the first place. Dr. Sylvia Lucas is a pediatric neurologist at the University of Washington. She also co-founded the Pediatric MS Clinic at Children's Hospital in Seattle.
We are in a wonderful time now as far as drug discovery to help our patients. And even better than that, besides needles, tablets are coming out.
And that would be great for the growing population of younger patients. Tablets or pills would be an easier way for kids to take medicine. Getting started early and taking medicine regularly is key to preventing disability down the road.
Because children are much more likely to have a very inflammatory type of disease. And what that does is really put them at risk for severe cognitive and physical disabilities much, much sooner than we could see it in the adult population.
Children tend to get a type of MS that comes and goes. It's called relapsing remitting. But the rate at which children relapse is much higher than for adults. Children also tend to be more resilient and bounce back more quickly between relapses. Alexis is a patient at Dr. Lucas's clinic. She was diagnosed at age 14 after two quick outbreaks in succession put her in a wheelchair. She's rebounded since then and is back on her feet. She's 16 now.
Well, right now, I think I'm rocking it. I really do. I mean, It definitely put me in a setback, like a couple years ago, but I don't think it affects me now.
Scientists hope that by tracking young people like Alexis over time, they will begin to get a better handle on the disease. They've recently started the first registry of pediatric patients to aid that progress. As for progress, Alexis has made plenty. Between her sports and studies and friends, it was hard to find a moment to catch up with her. I finally got the chance. She showed me her room at home.
Oh, wow.
See, my room is, yeah, this is my cleanness, and it's not clean. Ooh, yikes.
The whole room is painted in bright colors, like a seascape. In one corner, she's painted a life-size checklist for herself.
Well, I have a to-do list on my wall, and it's things I'm going to do. So I'm going to have an adventure, and I'm going to get a scholarship. I'm going to have 6-minute mile, and one of my favorites are get into UW. Yeah.
And after that, she wants to go to medical school.
Honestly, I would love to be a neurologist.
She used to want to be a neurosurgeon.
Since I have MS and since I don't have the best motor skills anymore, I think it'd be better if I just put it in the studies rather than the surgery. Yeah. So...
researchers are working hard to better understand the disease and improve treatments for it so that patients like Alexis can realize those kinds of dreams. And who knows? One day, it could be Alexis herself who unlocks the mystery of MS. I'm Carol Smith for KUOW.
Funding for the mystery of MS was provided by the KUOW Program Venture Fund. Contributors include Paul and Lori Ahern and the KUOW Board of Directors. This series was produced in collaboration with Investigate West. To hear more stories or to learn more about the Program Venture Fund, go to kuow.org.